You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Our money and the stories it tells us coming up in just a bit. But first, a couple of quick things macro-wise up at the top here, and then we will get to our leads of the day. First of all, just to get you all ahead of this a little bit, you're going to be hearing a lot about the debt limit the next week or so, the statutory ceiling on how much money the federal government is allowed to borrow. As we mentioned more than a couple of times, I think the current waiver of that limit runs out at the end of this month. And so you are starting to hear Republicans say they are not going to have anything to do with raising that ceiling, which makes it news that the Congressional Budget Office said today, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, to be clear, the CBO said that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is going to be able to scrape together enough money to keep paying the bills till October or November. Remember, the lesson here is that the politics of this economy aren't always the whole story. Also, just real quick, stocks, honestly, whatever, just wanted to point out, as I do from time to time, the bond market yield on the benchmark U.S. 10-year bond firmly stuck near 1.3% the past week or so. So not all that worried about inflation, but maybe worried about growth and the Delta variant. That is still to come. Speaking of the pandemic, as we have been for, a year and a half now, it is changing a bunch of things in this economy, some of them a lot, others not. In that latter category of things not changing as much as we'd thought, where people are choosing to live and work post-pandemic. We have seen, as we've told you, people leaving big, expensive cities on the coast, some, but there is new analysis out from Zillow that shows homebuyers are increasingly just looking for places on the periphery of some of those cities. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino gets us going.
For years before the pandemic, housing prices were growing fastest in areas closest to jobs, typically in dense urban centers. But the pandemic has flipped the trend, says Nancy Wu, an economist with Zillow.
The proximity to being close to downtown is being traded for longer commute times for greater affordability farther away.
Because many workers aren't going into the office as much and are looking for more space. Housing prices an hour or more from job centers grew the fastest in expensive metros over the last 2 years. Prices closer in, while still not exactly low, grew at the slowest rate and in some cases actually dropped.
We are seeing that a 10-minute commute in New York is now $73,000, almost $74,000 cheaper than it was in 2019.
Home buying is a long-term decision, she says, and that means hybrid and remote work are likely here to stay. And that could reshape cities, says Richard Florida, an urban planning professor.
Remote work is just the latest technology that stretches the boundaries of metropolitan areas.
Just like trains and cars did before. He says the rearrangement could make urban centers slightly more accessible to younger people or lower-income workers who have largely been priced out. But it's a troubling development for the environment, says Adi Tomer, a fellow at the Brookings Institution.
Using more space uses more resources. It's a fairly simple math calculation.
While hybrid workers further out may visit the office less frequently, he says they'll be more car reliant, travel longer distances, and live in bigger houses that use more energy. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
All right, here is a paperwork story with potentially big financial implications. Two reports out this week showing fewer students have been applying for college financial aid since the pandemic started. Just 68% of families with students in college filled out the free application for federal student aid. FAFSA is what that gets called for short, last year. That is the lowest that number's been in the 14 years Sallie Mae has been tracking it. It's their report. Also, the number of graduating high school seniors who filled out the FAFSA, that's also down, off 8.5% in the past 2 years. And that is according to the National College Attainment Network. And the drops matter because the FAFSA is the only way to qualify for most need-based aid. Marketplace's Samantha Fields explains what's going on there.
In a year when millions of people lost their jobs and have been struggling financially, Ashley Boucher at Sallie Mae says she would have hoped to see more people filling out the FAFSA.
The last thing I want to see when finances could potentially be tight for families is them not taking advantage of the resources that are out there.
Instead, the number of students applying for financial aid has dropped significantly.
That's particularly true for the people who tend to have the hardest time paying for college, who go disproportionately to community colleges.
Sarah Goldrick Rabb runs the Hope Center for College Community and Justice at Temple University. And she says one big reason for that is a lot of students just spent a year in virtual classes,
which in many cases led to disengagement and led them to question whether, in fact, they want to go on to more learning.
Studying remotely also meant many low-income students weren't as connected to counselors and college access programs, says Allie Levy at the organization College Access Research in Action.
Students really rely on school support to get through the application process and financial aid process. And without that ready access to counselors, it was harder to get through the process.
The National College Attainment Network estimates about 270,000 fewer high school seniors have filled out the FAFSA since the pandemic began. Morralee Keller at NCAN says the biggest drops have been among low-income students and students of color.
It's a huge deal. Students who complete a FAFSA have a much higher post-secondary enrollment rate than those students who do not.
Keller says if more students go back to in-person school in the fall,
you hope for a little bit of some rebound starting with the class of 22.
But she says it's going to take a lot of work to get students who did not enroll these last 2 years back to college. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.